Radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Somebody. children. What an awesome job they did. And Jennifer, I'm going to let y'all come down. If that's your last song. And thank God for our children. Great job, young people. Amen. Standing, we ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter 2. Jonah, chapter 2. And we will be reading verses 1 through 10. Jonah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I do see a few new faces in the place, and I want you to know that before we close this worship experience, we will give you an opportunity to say hello, for us to say hello to you. We're glad that you're here. Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, the depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to talk for just a few minutes this morning from the subject, what to do when it feels like you're sinking. What to do when it feels like you are sinking. Thank you, youth ushers and Brother Madden. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Most of us are familiar with this pericope of text, and we know that Jonah rode and complained. We know that Jonah refused to cooperate. Jonah ran and did not comply. In a nutshell, Jonah rejected his call. He disobeyed God, but he later suffered the consequences. Y'all need to know that there are consequences when we disobey God. Jonah ended up being thrown into a raging sea, almost drowning, but God, through his grace and mercy, spared Jonah's life. Is there anybody here today who can thank God that he spared your life? Come on, is there anybody who, when you look back over your life, if the truth would be told, you really shouldn't be here. But God, in his grace and his mercy, he looked beyond your faults and he saw your needs and he has spared your life another day, and you ought to tell him thank you. But the question comes, what did Jonah learn from this experience? What is it that we can learn from what Jonah tells us in chapter 2? When Jonah found himself sinking, how did he handle it? What do you do when you find yourself sinking? Jonah sank because of disobedience. But the question for us today is, what do we do when we find ourselves sinking? You may ask, what do you mean sinking? Well, some folks sink emotionally. Some folks sink financially. Some folks sink relationally. And worst of all, as the prophet in this story, some or even many of us sink spiritually. But what do we do? Let's go to our text and see what we can learn as Jonah recounts his experiences and reminisces about this unforgettable expedition. There are some lessons here for us. First and foremost, I don't believe for one moment that it is accidental or coincidental that the events in this chapter are placed between Jonah's initial call in chapter 1 and his second call in chapter 3. Let me rewind and say that again. I don't think it's an accident, amen, that the events that are happening in chapter 2 happen between his initial call in chapter 1 and his second call in chapter 3. Tell your neighbor, God calls him twice. Amen. Let's look at chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, that's the wrong direction. From the presence of the Lord. That's the wrong direction. That's the initial call. But then go to chapter 3 and let's look at the first three verses. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Verse 3, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, when we delay or refuse to do as God asks us to do, strange things happen. Disobedience to the word of God often compromises our spirituality and negatively changes our situation. That is the context and the background of this story. Chapter 2 is not a prayer of deliverance, but rather it is a prayer of thanksgiving. Jonah was thankful that he was still alive after he landed in the ocean. And today, my brothers and sisters, I want to share with you three ways we can respond when we find ourselves sinking, sinking, sinking. Has ever anybody been there? Amen. Where it felt like your life was sinking, sinking, sinking. You had money in the bank, but it still felt like your life was sinking. You had people all around you, but it still felt like your life was sinking, sinking, sinking. Amen. Well, the first thing you ought to do whenever it feels like you're sinking, the first thing we can glean from this text, the first thing that we can learn from Brother Jonah is that you better have enough sense to call for help. Nudge your neighbor and say, you better learn how to call for help. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Amen. Amen. Acknowledge that you need help. I know you degreed up and all of that, but every now and then you got to admit you need help. I know you've got friends in the mayor's office, in the governor's office, and even in the White House, but you better have enough sense every now and then to acknowledge that you need help. Amen. It makes sense to call for help when life's challenges become unbearable. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4 that if there are any sick among you, they need to have enough sense to call for the elders. In Jeremiah 33 and 3, he asked us to call on him, and he says he will answer. In Psalm 34 and 6, it said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. Isaiah 65 and 24 says that before they call, God says, before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Now, I just believe there ought to be at least two people up in this house who can look back over your life situations and your life circumstances and admit that that's you right there. While you were calling him, he was making a way for you. While you were praying, he was working it out. Give him praise in this place. There is an inherent advantage to calling on God. You see, calling on God implies a degree of expectancy. In other words, Lord, I'm not just calling on you to be heard. I'm not just calling on you to get attention for myself. I'm calling on you because I expect that you're going to show up and make a way out of no way. I'm calling on you because I have expectancy. But secondly, calling on God involves a display of maturity. See, when you've been walking with God a little while, you understand that when you call him, he'll show up. The old folk used to say he may not come when you want him, but is there anybody who can acknowledge he will show up on time? Calling on God implies a degree of expectancy. Calling on God involves a display of maturity. But not only that, calling on God indicates a degree of dependency. Y'all, I need it. I said, I need him. You see, some of y'all, sometimes we get so cute, you know, and get a new suit or a new dress or something, and we want to sit back and act like we made it all by ourselves. But I have learned in my 56 years of living that I need God. I need him. I don't just want him. I need him. But in this passage, Jonah called for help because he recognized three things. Jonah called for help because he recognized, number one, the distress he was facing. Verse 1, amen, in my distress. Unless, my brothers and sisters, we recognize the distress we are facing, we will never be motivated to call for help. If we don't think something is wrong, then why call for help? That's the problem. There are those of us who are distressed, we're disturbed, we're disillusioned and almost destroyed, but yet we refuse to call for help. We are drifting, we're sinking, but yet we refuse to call for help. Jonah said, in my distress, I didn't wait, Deacon Smith, to get out of the belly of the fish. But while I was still in it, amen, amen. Don't y'all see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, amen. They didn't wait until the fire was out. But while they were yet in the belly of the furnace, they called on God, and the king himself had to say, didn't we throw in three? But when I look in this fire, I see four, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. I wonder if I got any Son of God showing up in my situation, folk in the house, who can thank God that he showed up and he showed up on time. In Exodus chapter 14, I see Moses and the children of Israel down at the Red Sea. The Red Sea was in front of them. There were mountains on either side of them. Pharaoh's army was coming up behind them, but in their distress, they called on God, and God opened up the waters of the Red Sea, and the Bible says they walked across on dry land. I don't know how y'all feel about it this morning, but when I look back over my life, Brother Stewart, I can see a whole lot of dry land experiences, stuff that should have drowned me, stuff that should have taken me out of the race, but I walked across on dry land because I had enough sense to call on God for my help. He's a present help in the time of trouble. He will make a way out of no way. Give him praise in this place. You may be down, but like David, you can still look up and get some help. You may be at your lowest, but you still have access to the one who's at the highest. He called for help. Amen. He called for help. Amen. Because he recognized the distress he was facing. But secondly, Jonah called for help because he recognized the depth to which he had fallen. I'm in the Bible. As a man of God, Jonah had fallen far from where he used to be. He appeared to have lost his interest in preaching and the things of God. Jonah, bald-faced, looked at God and said, I don't want to go. I don't want to tell him. I want him to go to hell. Y'all ever had folk like that? You know, they've rubbed you the wrong way. And God, amen, God got to help us, because every now and then you say, let me leave that alone. There are children in the room. Amen. But the second reason he called for help is because he recognized the depth to which he had fallen. He appeared to have had no more desire to engage in the things of God. He had fallen far from God. Look at verses 5 and 6. It says, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. The man of God had hit rock bottom and found himself between a rock and a hard place. But the amazing thing is, he still had enough sense to call for help. Let's take a moment to reflect on where we are or where we used to be. How far have we fallen during the pandemic? Some of us, amen, have fallen, amen, out of church and fallen far away from God because we allowed the pandemic to make us comfortable sitting at home and watching church by way of Facebook. And I'm not fussing at you. I'm just telling you that you got to get to a place, amen, that you recognize the depths to which you have fallen. Don't y'all know the devil allowed the pandemic to come along to keep some of us out of the church? The devil allowed the pandemic to come along to stop some of us from praising God. Yeah.
When you recognize how far you've fallen, you better call for help. You better say, Lord, I need you to give me the strength to get up on a Sunday morning and get my clothes together and get to the house of prayer. If there's anybody glad to be in the house, glad to be in the service, one more time, give God some praise. Some have fallen in their relationships with their children. Some have fallen in their relationships with their spouses, with their employers, with their employees, and even with their spiritual family. And some of us have fallen in our relationship with God. Amen. My brothers and sisters, we ought to take a moment and evaluate, recognize where we are. If we're not growing as individuals in Christ, then we are either drifting or sinking. And the quicker we recognize where we are, the sooner we can call for help. So recognize the depth to which you've fallen. But I got one more. One more reason he called for help is because he recognized the dilemma of being a fugitive. Now, you can be a fugitive from justice. That's bad. But when you are a fugitive from God, come on, look at your neighbor and say, I don't want to be a fugitive from God. Amen. Amen. The distance he now found himself, look at verse 4. Verse 4, it says, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards the church house. When we run from God, do y'all understand? When you run from God, you're running from grace and mercy. And I know some of y'all live a whole lot better than me, because I need both grace and mercy. I need them together. I need them working all the time. Yeah, I'm your pastor, but every now and then somebody rubs pastor the wrong way, and I'm tempted to say some stuff I heard y'all say. And that's the only, I need grace. And I need mercy. Amen. I know God saved him, but look what he had to endure. 3 days in the belly of this fish. That ain't the same, y'all, as 3 days down at Fort Lauderdale at Sea Escape. That is not the same as 3 days, 3 nights at the Ritz-Carlton. Don't you realize that when you run from God, we relinquish our rights to his divine provision and protection? When we run from God, we render ourselves powerless and relegate everything.